pretty amazing.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the Don of Dissenting Discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that dapper, no pork eating America lover. Oh, good evening, Al. How are you?
Hey, terrific. Great to be here, Vito, as always.
Hey, it is great to be here. It's Monday, June the 28th. Just three more days left in this month of June. Actually, 2.5 days, because tomorrow's the 29th, and then it's the 30th, and then we go to July 1st. Can you believe July 1st? July is right around the corner. Ugh. This month is flying by. This year is flying by, despite the frail old fraud up there in the White House. Hey, some PGA news really quick, because, you know, this is going to be a long one, because yesterday, the tournament, this past weekend, the tournament was in Cromwell, Connecticut, the Travelers tournament. Travelers Insurance sponsors the tournament. It came down to the PGA veteran Harris English and newbie Kramer Hickok of America. 18 holes on Sunday wasn't enough to crown a champion. Harris English and Hickok tied for the lead at the end of the tourney. It went into a playoff. 8 playoff holes later, Harris English sank a 16-footer for a birdie to outlast Hickok. I mean, how impressive was Hickok's play for a guy who has only had one top 10 in the last 2 years? The young man is a newlywed. He handled the pressure greatly. He was sinking key putts all day long, including in the playoffs, to keep the playoff going. And, you know, I know that there was a lot of people that were rooting for him, but I really do hope he takes a lot out of this tournament. It gives him confidence that he can compete. As for Harris English, he gets his second win of the season, his fourth PGA Tour victory. Harris English I'll tell you, the guy is a great player, and I think he's learning how to win. The guy has got such a great swing. I really, really love the guy's swing, and he's got a great demeanor about him. I wish I was that cool, calm, and collective. Although, when he sunk the putt on 18 during regulation, that is the most emotion I think I've ever seen him display. It was really cool to watch.
Well, apparently it was relief because his back was hurting. He was losing focus. They were on their 80th hole in 80-degree weather. Darkness was coming on, and he made the putt. It's just a matter of who and when. I've never seen a playoff go that many holes before. It was outstanding. Fun to watch.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. You know, it was getting kind of I will admit this. As soon as Bubba Watson blew up on 13 and hit his drive in the water and then duffed his chip, I got pissed. I turned it. I was so pissed. I was looking for the ladies tournament. I was disappointed because here, you know, Bubba, again, you go to root for the guy and then he bogeys the next hole and it's like, shh, and I turned it off. And I turned it back on reluctantly and it's like, oh, whoa, this is going to be good. And then Hickok, you know, sinks a putt to tie, you know, Harris English. And it's like, oh, okay, so we're going to play off. And then boom, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. It was pretty cool. It really was. Enjoyed it. So it was exciting.
The payout difference, well, that one putt difference, just for people interested on how much these guys make, the winner, $1,332,000. That one putt. Won the second place, $806,000. So that one putt was worth probably about, what, $450,000 thereabouts?
Yeah. Well, and more importantly, it's a two-year exemption on the PGA Tour.
Yep.
The nice thing is Hickok doesn't have to worry about the next tournament, so he gets an automatic invite, so he doesn't have to use any type of sponsor's exemption for finishing in the top 10. Besides that, I think he with the $800,000 win, he's got enough money that'll get him through, get some invites to every tournament the rest of the year. Now he just has to work on getting his FedEx points standings up in the top 125, and, you know, the kid will make some extra change. So it was good.
Yep. Yeah, hats off to Kramer. Outstanding.
Yeah. LPGA news real quick. I got to mention this. 22-year-old American phenom Nelly Korda. She's the daughter of the former tennis star, Peta Korda, won her first LPGA major yesterday. I bring it up because this lady has 6 overall victories. She's 22 years old. She's the second youngest to win an LPGA championship major. She played great all weekend. She took charge yesterday. She had a little bit of a hiccup on the 13th hole, hitting a tee shot in the water. It was a really poor tee shot. I felt bad for her, but she was pissed too. But she's a competitor. She kept her composure. She walked off that hole with a bogey 4. She went back to business, securing her first LPGA major, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. As a result, Nelly Korda vaults to the number one spot in the Rolex Women's World Golf ranking. The sisters, Nelly and Jessica Korda. Jessica is the older sister, is also a great player, but Nelly appears to be the Serena Williams of golf. She's a little bit better than Jessica. It just was cool to watch. Nelly won last week, and she was measured, no emotion, she was happy without a doubt that she won, but it was really cool to see her emotion, especially during the press conference. And, the majors mean a lot to these people, man or woman, and she showed it. And so great job to Nelly Korda, this 22-year-old. She's got a great career ahead of her, and she's someone to watch. That's yep. Great to look at, too.
She's a beauty, and a rich beauty. At 22, her winnings for that tournament were $675,000. Lizette Salas comes in second at 418.
Good for Lizette Salas. She's also a Mexican American, and she was taught golf by her dad, and she's a very good family lady, and really good to see Lizette Salas play well, and very happy for her. That's a nice payday for her. It's a good finish for her. So she's playing great golf this year too. And I think Nelly Korda's boyfriend plays hockey too, professional hockey for the Las Vegas Knights. By the way, so
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then there's Gia Molinera, an Italian lady.
Yes.
She's got an interesting story herself. Parents from Italy. They went to Africa, and he started a safari business. There's a course a quarter mile down the street. She gravitated towards it, and look at her now.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about her. Hey, all these Italians, you got Guido Migliosi. He played great. He finished great. He's becoming a PGA rock star. Francesco Molinari. And now you've got the Italian lady. So it's really cool. We talk about the positive. And to keep in the sports theme, a big raspberry goes to the track and field hammer-throwing anti-American Gwen Berry, who decided to turn her back on her nation. This woke Marxist movement is turning out these anti-American activists who really need to get their act together and move to another country where they can be proud of. Maybe they can move to Saudi Arabia or to Egypt or Iran or, restart Iraq or maybe Libya. And represent a country who loves them for who they are. At least that's what they can get in their shallow and fragile minds. I mean, the United States is simply guilty of giving all people of color, all Americans, all Americans an opportunity to show your talents, to live your dream, and rise to the top of your sport. Okay? Whether you're Serena Williams or Tiger Woods or LeBron James, all these people, they showcase their talents, and some are appreciative of the opportunity that has been given them. But dedicate your life to becoming an Olympian. Get paid for going to school and concentrating on track and field and throwing the hammer. Now, I looked at her bio, Gwen Berry's bio, and she's played sports her entire life. She's now 31 years old. So she's able to function as an athlete in track and field after high school and college. And what an oppressive country, right? 31 years old, hasn't held a job, other than, track and field and sports, right? She went to high school, played sports. Goes to college, she plays sports. Post-college, she plays sports. In college, she studied psychology and criminal justice. And what an oppressive country. So Gwen Berry has had an opportunity to earn a college degree as a female. Now, females in Afghanistan are being exterminated by the Taliban for having the audacity to get an education and attempting to go to school or even go to college if they can make it that far. Yet this ungrateful wench is turning her back on America. And then when you're rewarded for your dominant play, even though you came in third, I'm sure Gwen was pissed because she lost to two white women. This is all about race now. But you simply turned your back on the very nation who offered up an opportunity for you to excel at your craft with no preconditions such as color of your skin, your height, your weight. That's really some injustice, Miss Berry. Simply excel at throwing the hammer and finish in the top three, gold, silver, or bronze. And that's some injustice, Miss Berry. The only good thing to take from this, Gwen Berry, you didn't finish first, nor did you finish second. You finished in a lowly bronze medal third. In the end, people like racist Gwen Berry show their ignorance by turning back on the very nation who afforded you an opportunity. Opportunity. Since Gwen Berry has such disdain for America, she should step aside and allow for an American athlete to have an opportunity to be a proud Olympian. This is how sad the woke movement truly is. America is so oppressive, you don't have the right to protest, and you will not be imprisoned or shot by the government. I mean, sorry, you do have the right to protest, and in America, you will not be imprisoned. You will not be shot by your government. That's some injustice, Ms. Berry. But you know what else, Al? Americans don't have to accept the ignorant, anti-American views of the Gwen Berries or anybody else who disrespects the United States of America. So the big raspberries go to Gwen Berry.
Screw her. She should be kicked off of the team for disrespecting our national anthem. To be a part of the Olympics is an honor, and you're playing for the United States of America, and to do what she did, she needs to be thrown off the team, as far as I'm concerned. And we have free speech in this country. She's free to say whatever she wants, but she needs to get up there and respect the country, respect the anthem, respect the United States of America, because not only is it respect for her, it's respect for the other players, and it's respect for our great republic. And then if she doesn't like our great republic, that she's lived a very comfortable life. I believe she has a net worth of close to $8 million, her and her husband. God bless them for that. But if she is unhappy here, she needs to find another country with an anthem that she can get behind. Shame on her. And like you said, big raspberries, big FU from Al.
Sue from New Mexico said that I'm sure Somalia, Nigeria, Syria, Iran would love to have her. And why not? I mean, first of all, you know, she doesn't have to run in a burqa. She doesn't have to run with head coverings. She has dedicated her life to running for track and field, whether that's running or throwing the hammer. And somehow it's oppressive. Somehow she's got a net worth of $5 million from not having a job other than track and field her entire life. I would love to play golf and have a net worth of $5 million by just playing golf. You know, but this is the opportunity that America offers. And somehow it's become fashionable with this woke movement to turn your back on the very country who's afforded you this opportunity. We have free speech in America? Certainly. You can express that free speech. But she, Gwen Berry, does not represent the vast majority of Americans when she turns her back on the very country who's given her an opportunity to excel at a craft that she loves. So to the hell with Gwen Berry. You know, somebody else can come in and also finish third, okay? The top two, the gold and the silver medalists, are going to Tokyo. We don't need Gwen Berry or any Gwen Berries for that matter. If you think America is that oppressive, Then like Sue's from Mexico said, run for Somalia, run for Nigeria, Syria, Iran. You know what? Join the North Korean team. And if you finish third, see if you last any long, you know, if you're even able to enter the country, let alone survive a week in North Korea for finishing third. Just, it's disgusting, man. It's just despicable what we're seeing today by this woke crowd, this revisionist history bunch of snowflake leftists.
Well, she's got one son. Guess how old she was when she delivered her son?
How old?
15. At the mere age of 15.
Oh. Oh, and she wasn't ostracized from the Olympic team, nor the Pan American team. She wasn't ostracized from a college team for having a baby out of wedlock. Oh, America
college
is
team.
So oppressive.
And that would have been her high school team.
No, I'm saying here she's already had a baby out of wedlock going to college. So she was afforded a college an opportunity to go to college, which she went, and she participated in track and field. She wasn't ostracized from the college team for having a child out of wedlock. You know how draconian America is? I mean, you know how oppressive America is? You know these social injustices of America? Yet she was embraced. And it didn't matter what her upbringing was and the fact that she had a child already at the age of 15. And she had a three-year-old at the age of 18 when she was going to college. You see, this is the cancer, the pollution of progressive politics, tearing down the United States of America, tearing down our constitutional republic. And it puts this cancer into the minds of these weak-minded individuals who believe this garbage that's out there. And Gwen Berry is a product of that garbage, of that woke cancer that has infected the United States of America. America is so oppressive that it afforded Gwen Berry an opportunity to go to college with a child of 3 years old. It afforded her to participate in the Pan American Games, where she won a gold medal when she had a child who was 9 years old or 10 years old. And now she's on the premises of going to the Olympics in 2021 with a child that's, what, 15 years old? How oppressive of a country. God, turn your back on America. Like Sue from Mexico said, go to Somalia, go to Nigeria, go to Syria, go to Iran, and be part of that team. There you go. Go ahead.
I don't know. I want to know how someone who specializes in the hammer throw ends up having a net worth of somewhere between $1 and $5 million, especially when you have one kid at 15 and another one, you said, at 17 or 18, whatever that was.
No, she had that one child. I was just going through what leading up to the 2021 Olympics thing. The age of the child now has got to be, what, 15 or 16 years old now?
Well, yeah, she's a child of 15 having a child. You can't hold down a job. I mean, come on. How do you even make it through college and high school raising a baby? I mean, it's got to be tough. There's no question. Maybe she had a lot of family support. But to be able to get that much net worth, and then your specialty is the hammer throw? I mean, that doesn't even get primetime viewing on the Olympics once every 8 years. They don't hammer throw during the Winter Olympics, only during the summer.
You nailed it. Get it? Well, speaking of rough and tough, I think we got moving on the line. Let's take this call, eh?
Hey,
is this moving? Thank you
moving.
For your service.
You guys are on fire tonight.
What's up, Hammer Man?
Yeah, hammer at home here.
Yeah, this hammer throwing thing that you're talking about, turning their back on the flag. You know, the new jihad is this rainbow movement that's going on. And I can give you some examples. Well, one, I was sad to hear tonight that this hammer thrower guy turned their back on the American flag. That's, you know, but if it was a rainbow flag, you know, maybe it would have been a different story. Speaking of the rainbow flag.
She had on her T-shirt the words activist athlete as she turned around during the national anthem.
Right, you know. Hey, I'm an American. Live and let live. Meaning, don't bother me and I won't bother you, and let's get on and vote about things. But this rainbow movement is more like the jihad, where we're going to cut everyone's head off and don't you dare disagree with us. And they don't really care about the law and people's vote and how they feel. How people, the average family feels. You know, let me give you an example. At the VA, they have like 8 levels of service, et cetera. And You have Agent Orange victims. You have people without limbs having to wait in line because these rainbow warriors have special rainbow case managers who bump them up on priority because somebody hurt their feelings. And if you disagree with what I'm saying tonight, go to the VA website and find out for yourself how it works. They've got special rainbow counselors at the VA. And why are we paying for that? Why a case manager is a case manager. Why are they getting special help? And in the government-wide and corporate-wide, they've got special human resource people bumping them to the front of the rainbow line because they're special. It's crazy. It's just absolutely
moving.
Crazy.
Movie, yes, you pose a really good question, and you know that was part of the of tonight's theme as well, and I have to actually thank our big fat soft underbelly and his July 4th blast, because he's right. You know, here we have a situation in America where we can have gay pride parades, we can have June 19th parades, and coming up this Sunday is July 4th, Independence Day, and we have Independence Day parades being canceled because of a pandemic, and yet there's these sordid gay pride parades where people are walking around nude around America, and we're embracing these type of parades. I've got nothing against gay people. Believe me, I don't care. I don't care. Like you, I don't care if you're gay, okay? The fact is that if you're in America, you do as an American, be an American, be proud of the country that allows you to express and to live your life the way you want to live it, okay? And suddenly now we have this identity politics that has infected all parts of America, including the United States Defense Department. And now we're gonna pay for it. Taxpayers are gonna pay for transgender operations. We have gay people that walk to the head of the line, the gay pride, and all this other crap. Excuse me, you're a United States soldier. You served your country admirably. Who cares what your sexuality or your sexual preference is? If you need the VA's help, you're in line to get help. But we have to fraction the country even more with this cancerous identity politics. And it's sickening. It's sickening. You know, you go to the VA clinic, you go to the VA hospital, get treated for your ailments. It doesn't matter what your sexual preference is. If you're missing a limb, if you have PTSD, it doesn't matter what your sexual preference is or was at the time. Get treated. Help our vets. That's what matters, not fractioning society.
Yeah, you got that right. And the sad part is they're hiring collateral staff for just to be special staff to take care of special people who really are dealing with issues like getting their genitals hacked and having their breasts removed and all this optional therapy that, you know, real vets have real problems, okay? And,
yes.
And a lot of these are political jobs with premier benefits on the counselor side. And then it's people who really, you know, really don't deserve the care because it's optional treatment. You've got folks waiting in line with really serious issues, and they're getting bumped because of this political onslaught. And it's not only happening with the medical care, it's happening with legitimate jobs. It's happening with small business loans. It's happening across the board. And I don't think it's legitimately the U.S. taxpayer who's advocating for it. I think it's a lot of foreign interests who are trying to maybe lobby for this and divide us as a country.
Mm.
Just my
Well, according to the U.S. Army website, new policy, transgender personnel and individuals with gender dysphoria who can meet the Army standards for military service can now serve openly in their self-identified gender, according to a new policy approved this month by the Army Secretary. Quote, people are the strength of the Army, Spitz said Tuesday. Quote, our ability to assess and retain qualified personnel provides a more diverse and stronger Army enhancing readiness.
Yeah,
so if you have
gender
dysphoria you're in, if your eyesight is less than 20/20, you're out. And you have flat feet.
It's crazy. You know, the majority of America still has Judeo-Christian values that believe in things like marriage being between a man and a woman and, you know, stuff like that. The majority. So you're telling the majority of potential recruits, and I'll give you a number, only 30% of recruits, eligible Americans, out of all the Americans who are of recruitment age, only 30% qualify to start. And you're telling the majority of them that they have to swallow their values or not join. That's basically what's happening. And, you know, the ones that have choice are going to look at that twice and say, you know, I really don't want to buy into that lifestyle. My value system is different. And I'm telling you right now, it's happening. I remember back in the day under President Clinton when he did the don't ask, don't tell thing, he was signing my discharge because even then, way too much. Back in the day, back in the late 90s, 98, back in 98, that was too much. That was too much. And now you're saying you got to serve with, you know, unicorns and rainbows. I mean, they really don't have the warrior spirit going on. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's just that emasculating the military. Nothing but emasculating the military.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for letting me call in tonight. You guys are on fire, and bless you.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you for your service, moving. You stay safe out there, man.
Great call.
Ciao. That was moving. Hey, bring up a good point, you know? And no one really cares what your sexual preference is. They really don't. But stop shoving it down Americans' throats. And we're talking about a very small minority, and it has to be the majority of the discussion. I mean, it's insanity. It's total insanity what we're seeing today. The pollution of progressive politics has absolutely infected this nation. It really has. And it's really sad because the progressive movement, which includes the fascists, the Marxists, the communists, the Islamists, they don't respect the United States of America. They don't respect our U.S. Constitution. And that's why the narrative by these progressives, by these Marxists, by these communists like Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Rodham Clinton and Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, they all like to refer to America as a democracy. And they refuse to acknowledge what our founders and how our founders founded the United States of America. Even with the writings in the Federalist papers that justifies the founding of our nation, these global anti-Americans all want to tear America down. And this is how you do it, man. You go with the identity politics, you fracture America, you fracture society, and you continue to dismantle things like this First Amendment, things like the Second Amendment. You know?
Well, you have defensive end Carl Nassib came out. Last week, NFL defensive end Carl Nassib put out a video on Instagram. In it, he says, "I just want to take a quick moment to say I'm gay."
Wow. Oh.
Who cares, Carl?
Oh. I thought he was tight
Nobody
end. I didn't know he was
Nobody gives a
right.
shit.
That's exactly right.
Why you
got to
make
right.
it such a big deal? Hey, America, I like women. I'm straight. Who gives a shit?
And you know what's even funny about that, about the one that you you talked about coming out that he's gay? So now, was it Michael Sims or something like that? Michael Sims now is tossed aside because, I think that was his name, because now Carl Nassib come out that he's gay. All of a sudden, this is oh my God, here we go, what a revelation. Well, excuse me, but 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Michael Sims comes out, and the world stopped, and And now Carl DeSeef comes out, and he's like, he's hailed as a hero for coming out. Wait a minute. You celebrated Sims coming out. What? I don't get it. Is this going to be a constant celebration now? I mean, I don't know. Jeez. Oh, well. Oh, Michael Sam. I said Sim. It was Michael Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 2014. So that was 7 years ago. And now, you know, this guy comes out, Nassib comes out, and all of a sudden we're going to have because it's Gay Pride Month and all. You know, how about just being a month for America? Hey, that would be July 4th, Independence Day would be a month for America. But, you know, speaking of America, on a positive note, I have a Purple Heart coin update. The U.S. Mint Committee has reviewed the Purple Heart commemorative coin program designs, and now apparently the final design is on the desk of Janet Yellen for signature, and it's expected that the approval will come anytime now, and the coins will be minted in 2022 at the West Point Mint. And the U.S. commemorative Purple Heart coins will come in gold, silver, and a 50-cent piece clad material. The prices have not yet been determined, but they'll be gold, silver, and a clad material. So watch for that. I think, you know, with all the stuff that's going on, you know, in America, it's nice to see that some positives coming out, that we're still recognizing those men and women who received Purple Hearts in America, who served their country proudly, including my pop, who received a Purple Heart. So this is an exciting time, actually, if you follow the Purple Heart occurrences and scenario. And so the U.S. Mint Committee has reviewed the Purple Heart commemorative coin. They've approved it, and now it's on the desk of the Treasury Secretary to sign off on it. So. That I'm excited about.
Excellent. And for those who don't know, you get a Purple Heart when you are wounded in combat. So it is a very high honor.
Yeah, it really is. My dad was wounded during the Battle of the Bulge during World War II. So it's something that I display proudly in my office. So, if your loved ones have lost a Purple Heart, contact the Purple Heart Commission, and they will try to find it. And generally, they can find a Purple Heart or replace it. If I'm not mistaken, can replace it. So it's an honor that's awarded to the heroes of war. So, and let's see. Speaking of war, no. Hey, update on the Miami condo collapse. The Surfside condominium building collapsed last Thursday, June 24th. Today, a report is that 10 are confirmed dead and 151 are still missing. They're saying that some of the missing may not have been in the building, but they haven't been able to contact those. And apparently a lot of foreigners had occupied that building. So nothing yet on whether it's structural or whether it's terrorism, but I guess the narrative now is coming back to shoddy workmanship. But just the way that building fell, when you look at the CCTV video cam, that thing just fell straight down. So it's just kind of interesting now. It just kind of dropped right down. So pretty horrific, huh?
Yeah. Complete tragedy. The state of Israel sent a team over to help with the recovery process at this point?
Recovery and extraction team, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we're going on 5 days now, but Israel was the one foreign country that sent the team over to help out. So kudos to the state of Israel. And the days go on. Not good for the survivors, if there are any.
No.
151 missing. Supposedly, I guess there were some structural issues with the building that came out in 2018. Eyewitnesses have said that they saw the pool collapse and then the building. So,
wow.
We're gonna have to wait and see what the what happened. And, yeah, it's just sad. So now the city of Miami is any buildings, I guess, over 20 years old, they're all getting mandatory checks and evaluations. So hopefully they'll be able to stop another tragedy before it happens.
Yeah, man, that's definitely was a tragedy, and you know, caught on camera too. And so that, you know, it's just really wild. And did the Palestinians send a team over at all? Or no, no, I didn't. Guys, that's right. They don't really help. They're not very humanitarian. Never mind. That was just a rhetorical question.
Yeah, no, they were happy and passing out candy because there were some Jews in the building. So.
Oh, that's right. You know, speaking of narratives, it came across the wire the other day and I saw the story in bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blogspot, by the way. I know Bigfoot's in the chat room, but if you want a daily blogspot with comprehensive news articles from around the world, go to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. So I saw the story in Bigfoot's Place on Blogspot, and I saw the story in Jihad Watch, and it was about bubbling Biden's handlers order a strike on Iranian targets. And so I read the article, and it was interesting. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, you know, something's not right about this article. And something's not right about the quote from CNN. And I thought it was interesting. So here it was, is that bubbling Joe Biden directed military forces to conduct defensive precision airstrikes against facilities used by Iran-backed militia groups in the Iraq-Syria border region on Sunday evening, according to news release from the Department of Defense. Right? And I said, you know, this doesn't sound right. I mean, you know, when President Trump ordered the strike against Iran, and I'm not talking about Soleimani, but he ordered the strike against Iran, I know the story was different, and I found it. And it was like, here's the headline, or here's the story and how it starts out in the liberal rags like Rolling Stone. Okay, so Trump ordered a military strike against Iran, And it says, war with Iran has felt inevitable for weeks. Now it seems like it could begin any day, okay? So this is how the liberal rag starts off, okay, back in 2019. The New York Times reported late Thursday night that President Trump ordered a military attack against the Middle East nation, only to call it off. The order came in response to the downing of a U.S. surveillance drone by an Iranian missile, according to the Times. Officials expect a counterstrike to take place late 7 p.m. and ships and planes have already been positioned. And when President Trump undertook trying to stem Iran and push back Iran and Syria, it was military attacks. But bumbling Biden goes out, his handlers order a strike on Iranian targets, and it's for defensive precision airstrikes. Now, if you look at the Soleimani, taking out of Soleimani, I think that was a pretty good precision directed airstrike with no collateral damage, none. And so when President Trump did something, the news media right away made it into a radical, extreme event. But, you know, bumbling Biden's handlers order an airstrike and the media sanitizes the strike and to say that it was a precision airstrike. And what I find it, you know, also funny is to use Biden and precision in the same sentence is an oxymoron, because nothing Biden does is with precision except for stumbling and mumbling and also spewing racist remarks. But there are two different types of media standards. One is to cover the bubbling dictator Biden, and you have the DNC media who espouses the same Marxist belief system. They run for cover. They sanitize the chronic missteps of a buffoon. a feeble old fraud installed by the Washington, D.C. establishment. Even the Marxist Speaker of the House, the bitter, petulant, partisan, Nancy Pelosi, saw fit to chime in and act tough. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi stated on Sunday evening that the airstrikes appeared to be a targeted, proportional response to a serious and specific threat. Well, no shit, Sherlock. It's exactly what President Trump warned against. It's exactly what President Trump tried to stem and did stem. But, you know, you fought him in every way, shape, or form. You called him all kinds of names in the books. Okay, now that bumbling Biden does it, all of a sudden, it's a proportional and targeted response. To remind the ever-petulant partisan fraud Nancy Pelosi, President Trump always put America and American interests first. But the agenda of the anti-constitutional and radical left wing was always to undermine President Trump, to upend his presidency. The despicable display of politics by Nancy Pelosi and her three stooges, Jerry Nadler, Adam Schiff, and Eric Fang Swalwell, not to mention Senator Schmuck Schumer, was to undermine and sabotage the Trump presidency at every turn. Yet when bubbling Biden handlers stage a military attack, it's for defensive purposes. And that awakens chimpanzees like Pelosi to come out from under their rocks to sound tough and sound important. This is the most destructive and un-American government occupying both the executive and congressional branches of government. It's not about we the people anymore. It's about the D.C. establishment. It's about me, myself, and I, how they can capitalize on the greed and the self-interest. Good old bubbling Biden, okay? Oh, it's for defensive purposes. You're telling me that President Trump didn't try to go on the defense for defensive purposes of stopping Hezbollah, on stopping Iran from financing terror and killing American soldiers like he did in Syria, like he did in Iraq? Push back against ISIS? Push back against the Palestinians, Hamas, who was being funded by Iran? And not an hour after he takes office on January the 20th, dictator Joe Biden gets back in bed with Iran, starts funding the Palestinians. Oh, it's to rebuild Gaza. Where did we hear that in 2009 about rebuilding Gaza? And all Hamas did was build elaborate tunnels to go to dig into Israel and to kill Israelis and to kill Jews, huh? Suddenly, Joe Biden is taking a defensive tactic. That's exactly what President Trump did for 4 years. That's what he did to stop the aggression of a state sponsor of terror called Iran. I mean, this is how disingenuous this entire Washington, D.C. establishment is. All these glowing comments about bumbling buffoon Biden. He doesn't have the mental acuity to do what they undertook in Syria and in Iraq. God, the double standard that we see today. And then you got Nancy Pelosi coming out and trying to justify, sugarcoat what bumbling Biden did, appear to be targeted to proportional response. You never gave President Trump any credit for undertaking the same thing and for being successful at it. Instead, it was Jerry Nadler who wrote the manifest to undermine Trump and his presidency. What a bunch of frauds. What a bunch of frauds. But you can find the article in Jihad Watch. As demonstrated by this evening's strikes, dictator Biden has been clear that he will act to protect U.S. personnel. Given the ongoing series of attacks by Iran-backed groups targeting U.S. interest in Iraq, the president directed further military action to disrupt and deter such attacks. That's what President Trump did for 4 years. All bumbling Biden has to do is just follow President Trump's lead. But it's all been about to dismantle the Trump presidency. That's all it's been about. You know, when President Trump was seeking to protect American soldiers and American interests, he was met at every turn with resistance from the anti-American Democrat Communist Party. And now they're using the language that they should have used, protecting American interest, protecting American soldiers. See, but remember, it was never to give President Trump any type of credit under any circumstance. That's what the manifesto called for. It's just sickening, the double standard that we see today, Al. The double standard that we see today. Just it's sickening. It's sickening.
Well, reported 1 hour ago by Reuters, U.S. troops came under rocket fire in Syria today but escaped injury in an apparent retaliation for weekend U.S. airstrikes against Iran-aligned militia in Syria and Iraq.
Well, they know that that Biden's one and done. He's a lightweight. It's not like the Iranians going to take him serious. And you know what? The Iranians will do just enough, you know. And in the meantime, you've got the pro-Iranian regime in Washington, D.C. that's led by Biden and Kerry, who are going to continue to give money to the terrorist state of Iran. And so, again, anything this guy does, you just can't you can't take serious, because his actions are ready to date. You know, on one hand, you're giving Iran billions of dollars since January 20th, something that should have never been done. And on the other hand, you're now hitting the Iranians in Iran, I mean, Iraq and Syria. Why did you give them billions of dollars? Why? I mean, was this just window dressing so that maybe the media can portray the Frello fraud as being tough and being some tough guy? Remember, because he's big man on campus now, you know, but don't let him speak. Don't let him speak. Because when he speaks, he opens his mouth to change feet. And let these comments sink in, because in Europe, Joe Biden was meeting with his fellow comrade, Vladimir Putin, and big man on campus, Biden, said, I told Putin that unlike other countries, including Russia, we're uniquely a product of an idea. You heard me say this before again and again, but I'm going to keep saying it. What's that idea? We don't derive our rights from government. We possess them because we're born, period, and we yield them to a government. So Biden actually said that we, the people, yield our rights to the government. And, you know, that is absolutely not true. That is contrary to what our founders wrote. It is contrary to what our founders wrote, like James Madison and Alexander Hamilton wrote in the Federalist Papers and in the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And this is what the anti-constitutionalists, why they are trying to condition Americans into their revisionist history. I mean, for Biden to actually go on stage and to state that we're born, but the American people then yield their rights to the government is just absolutely that's just a Marxist viewpoint. And it's all the more reason why the Supreme Court in recent history now, for the second time and probably the third time, has slapped down the Biden administration for their overreach. And it's all the more reason that the Supreme Court ruled an 8-1 decision on free speech was the correct decision after a 14-year-old went on a profanity-laced diatribe. And we may not agree with the 14-year-old's choice of words. As a matter of fact, Al, if I would have used the language at 14 years old and yelled at adults that way, my father would have slapped me across the room and I would have every right to be beat by my father. But you know what? I had parents, though, who instilled a sense of dignity and respect that is not being instilled in children today. But the Supreme Court was right to rule the way they did with regards to free speech. And, you know, in the South, they call it a whipping that my parents would have given me. And in North, you know, here in the North, they call it a beating. But today we must be compassionate with the spoiled brats. But we know that free speech is not something we might agree with. And that was the point of the founders. And so we don't yield our free speech to the government to dictate what speech is acceptable. But the communist snowflakes at colleges and universities across America are offended by speech that is deemed conservative or it's labeled right-wing views. Left-wing intolerance for speech is what they decide. And that's wrong. We don't yield these free speech rights to government. Government is to get out of the way. And when the Federalist Papers were written to defend and explain the drafted federal constitution and promote its ratification in the state of New York, New York City newspapers from October 1787 to August 1788 published the 85 essays under the pseudonym Publius. Publius is a legendary founder of the Roman Republic, which means friend of the people. Publius declared in the Federalist Papers, Publius shunned the pose of impartiality and openly declared his opinion that it is in your interest to adopt the Constitution as the safest course for your liberty, your dignity, and your happiness. The safest course for your liberty is not yielding your rights to the federal government as dictator Joe Biden declared in Europe. And there was no pushback by the DNC media. You know, imagine if dictator Biden would have told the media in Europe, you are now yielding your rights to the government. We, the government, will decide what news you will be given and how you will report it. Oh, but you know what? We did realize that edict, though, from during the Trump presidency, because the DNC media, who now is sanitizing the Biden crime family, including the big guy's drug-addicted sex addict son, okay, for 4 years, the DNC media in Washington, D.C., and the establishment tried to undermine and dictated what news came out of the White House and attempted to create and manufacture narratives and headlines, only to be pushed back by the President of the United States, then President Donald Trump, circumventing the corrupt DNC media. And while the DNC media interpreted that news under their myopic Marxist views, President Trump pushed back. But can you imagine if dictator Joe Biden stood in Europe and told the media, the U.S. media, that we will dictate what speech, what news you will disseminate in America? They would have went apoplectic. Now a real communist, Marxist, anti-constitutionalist was inserted in the White House, and right before our eyes, he's systematically dismantling our U.S. Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And Sunday is Independence Day, July 4th, 2021. We do not yield our rights to the government because I, dictator Joe Biden, says so. From free speech to freedom of religion to freedom to peaceably assemble, the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances, the right to bear arms are all being abridged by this anti-constitutional Marxist movement. We are seeing the freedoms to peaceably assemble being abridged under political correctness, the cancers of multiculturalism, and the use of a pandemic, as our big, fat, soft underbelly so rightly stated in this latest July 4th blast, and I put it on Twitter. July 4th Independence Day parades are being canceled around the country, citing pandemic concerns. The new strain, the possibility, the herd not all being vaccinated, all of these excuses. And yet under the Marxist movement, if you espouse the LGBTQRSP and the June 19th identity politics, you can have your parade. You can have your marches because suddenly the Chinese virus concerns no longer exist for those parades, for those mass gatherings. The conditioning by the anti-constitutional Biden-Harris regime is to paint July 4th Independence Day as evil, just like they painted it for Christmas, like they painted it for Thanksgiving, like they painted it for Easter. Paint our founding fathers as racist and separatist. This can no longer stand. We refuse to be conditioned into thinking America's founding was bad. The United States of America is the greatest country in the world. We don't care if you're gay or what your sexual preference is. What we care about is being an American. America is the greatest country in the world. July 4th is truly a day of celebration of independence. And this Independence Day should be celebrated. The Democrat Communist Party enforcement arms like Antifa, BLM, and the Muslim Brotherhood couldn't undertake their violence and lawfare intimidation and destroying cities across America without the U.S. Constitution. After all, they were mostly peaceful protests, right? You know, burning down the city of Portland, burning down Minneapolis, burning down St. Louis and killing police officers and retired police officers. I guess it was mostly peaceful protesting. We should celebrate this great day of independence more than ever. However, the Marxist movement is conditioning Americans to think otherwise. This entire woke movement is a cancer. It's anti-American. As written in the beginning of the Federalist Papers, these divisions provide the basic structure for the Federalist and embody its principle. Before heading added to each paper in the first collected edition, identify the more specific topics addressed. For all its length and detail, however, the arguments in the Federalist are guided by two basic assumptions. One, that the rejection of the Constitution would almost inevitably result in disunion and an end to the Republican experiment, and two, that nothing short of the government proposed could preserve the Union with its safety and liberty of the American people. The prospect that the nation could survive under Articles of Confederation is simply not entertained by Publius. He suggests it would be more likely for the Union to dissolve into two or more rival confederacies. But the first basic assumption in the Federalist Papers is that the rejection of the Constitution would almost inevitably result in disunion and an end to the Republican experiment. And what we are witnessing today is an attempt to disunion. Is an attempt to divide this country. It's an attempt to reject the Republican form of government. And I'm not talking about the Republican Party. The founding of this country was based on Republican principles. It's not just about a barbecue, as Movement says. The founding of this country was based upon Republican principles. And the aim today, the goal of the Democrat Communist Party is to divide this union. It's to dissolve our constitutional form of government. And that is why the narrative that is being bandied about by the Democrat Communist Party is that we are a democracy. They can't say the word Republican form of government. We are a constitutional republic. Did our founders know 233 years ago that man would screw up a good thing? I think by the writings in the Federalist Paper, by the writings of James Madison and Alexander Hamilton, yes. The greed by politicians in Washington, D.C. is incredible. Someone like a Senator Harry Reid walks in with a net worth of $3 million, and after serving 20 years in the United States Senate, he's worth like $93 million. How does that happen on $140,000 a year salary? What a fucking genius. Parlay $3 million into $93 million? Nancy Pelosi, the same thing? Dianne Feinstein's net worth goes up? Oh, but her husband is a contractor, so he was awarded, you know, federal construction bids. But hey, don't look into the nepotism there, mind you. Who knows how much Eric Swalwell is worth after getting in bed with Fang Fang? We know that the Biden crime family has profited handsomely. I mean, so much so that Hunter Biden's dad paid $25,000 for Hunter to have, you know, crackhead Hunter to have a hooker in Los Angeles. But hey, no one's talking about that. Our founders knew, Al, that man would screw this up 233 years later. But, you know, I love the first basic assumption under the Federalist Papers. James Madison was brilliant. The rejection of the Constitution would almost inevitably result in disunion and an end to the Republican experiment. And it's exactly what Barack Hussein Sator Obama set his sights on. It's exactly what Obama's handlers, okay, the domestic terrorists, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, okay, that was their goal under Prairie Fire, is to implement their Marxist agenda. And that's why they brought in Barack Hussein Sator Obama and his anti-American belief system. Our founders were brilliant. And in six days, we're going to celebrate July 4th, Independence Day. I mean, what better time to bring it up than now?
Without a doubt. And it goes back to what you were saying with the Biden administration. Because they've been looking to revive the 2015 nuclear deal with Iran, and the attacks that you were talking about at the beginning of the rant underscore how Biden aims to compartmentalize such defensive strikes. Get that, defensive strikes is huge, because when you compare the two articles between how strikes by Trump and strikes by Biden were reported, total opposite. Even in this, such defensive strikes while simultaneously engaging Tehran in diplomacy. I'm going to shoot missiles at you, and then we're going to go talk in another room about diplomacy. Well,
yeah.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was in a pickle because she had to somehow make a statement. So she said, Iran was a bad actor in the region who supported extremely problematic behavior, but defended the diplomatic outreach as a way to deny Tehran a nuclear weapon. That makes absolutely zero sense in the real world. It is so outrageous. I'm going to repeat it again. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Iran was a bad actor in the region who supported extremely problematic behavior. True. But she defended the diplomatic outreach as a way to deny Tehran a nuclear weapon. Biden's critics say Iran can't be trusted to the point to the drone attacks as further evidence that Iran and its proxies will never accept U.S. military presence in Iraq or Syria. And why should they? Because they are winning. So Iran called on the United States to avoid creating crisis in the region. The only crisis that we're creating in the region is attacking Shia jihadi terrorists. Period.
Period.
And now that we've
got
the new leader in Iran who is a psychopathic murderer.
The butcher.
The butcher of Iran is now the president. I mean, we thought Ahmadinejad was bad. This guy is 10 times worse. And he's steaming after President Trump took out his main guy. Tehran hates America. The mullahs hate America. Hezbollah hates America and Israel. And they're going to engage Tehran in diplomacy as they blow up the Abraham Accords. The Abraham Accords was that peace treaty that President Trump built where four Sunni Arab countries sign an agreement with Israel. Who in their right mind would ever think that that would have happened in their lifetime? Not me, but it happened. Now President Biden is trying to blow that up. And the only reason that the Sunnis did that is because as much as they hate Israel, they hate and fear Iran more. Because they know that the Shia are gunning for the Sunnis, and it's going to be that same old 1,400-year war. And President Biden is effing that up as badly as he can. And it's beyond comprehension. It's as crazy as all this gender, I don't know, dysphoria or whatever they call it. Our whole culture, the Marxists are winning. You said it. This is what, if you're a Marxist and you want to destroy America, this is how you do it. And they are winning. It pains me to say.
Well, you know, they're winning just from the standpoint that they have a pro left wing media who sanitizes this administration in every cause. I mean, if Kaylee, McInerney, if she was like Baghdad Bob Jensacki, she was bad enough the press would try to attack Kaylee McInerney, but yet she had all of her facts and she wasn't afraid. She didn't have to circle back to anything. But Baghdad Bob Jensacki, you know, she's got to circle back to everything. And what's really sad is that she is she's the propaganda queen. She does the bidding for the Biden administration and says absolutely nothing. And the fact that she came out and tried to spin the attacks on, you know, the bombing, you know, to make it sound like that the big man on campus, dictator Biden was tough. In the meantime, in the back room, they're re-implementing the Iran deal that was never certified by the United States Senate. And so they're funding terrorists, not to mention that this other thing that goes unsaid, okay, is that the United States bought 1 million barrels of oil or 6 million barrels of oil from Iran. What? Now, let me tell you, this would have never happened with President Trump, and it did not happen with President Trump. He knew who the enemies of the United States were. He knew what Iran meant to the Middle East region and to the prospect of peace in the Middle East. Iran is the thorn in the side. You've got dictator Biden buying oil from Iran and from Russia, and then he shuts down the Keystone Pipeline. We go from barrels of oil being $45 a barrel to $70 a barrel in less than 5 months. This guy is enabling, dictator Joe Biden is enabling a state sponsor of terror, and he's compensating them by buying their oil. And then you've got the state sponsor of terror going into the Middle East and killing American soldiers, killing America's allies. Oh, we're going to – and then you got bumbling Biden standing up there, you know, the big man on campus, and he's talking about the NATO treaty. We will stand by and invoke, you know, treaty number five, clause number five. We will always stand with clause number five. In the meantime, you're buying oil from a state sponsor of terror. So you are helping to finance terrorism around the world to kill Americans, to kill Jews, and to kill our allies. Really? This is insane. And Baghdad Bob Jensacki is the best spinmeister since Baghdad Bob of Iraq. It is unconscionable what we are witnessing today, coming out of this government, coming out of this regime in Washington D.C., including Communist Kamala going to the border this past week. Why did Communist Kamala go to the border? For two reasons. One, she was called out on the world stage, okay, by a left-wing news rag. And secondly, President Trump announced he was going to the border next week. And suddenly Communist Kamala had to find a way to get to a border and get to the safest part of the border. Where did she go? El Paso, which doesn't have a crisis like the rest of the border. Again, don't bring optics into play here, okay? Make sure you blame Trump for the border crisis that was created by Biden and Harris regime, okay? And let's remember, it was the Biden-Harris regime that was wrapping illegal aliens in the Costco hot dog foil wrappers. It wasn't the Trump administration. Boyd put in the chat room, $4.05 a gallon for gasoline in California. $4.05 a gallon since January 20th. And you've got bumbling dictator Joe Biden authorizing the purchase of oil from a state sponsor of terror in violation of the Iran treaty, in violation of the treaty that Obama Biden had implemented without the Senate treaty, without the Senate authorization. $4.05 a gallon, and he kills the Keystone Pipeline, 33,000 plus jobs. He signs off without any conditions on the Russian pipeline going into Germany. but kills the Keystone Pipeline in America for the free flow and the independence of oil in America. Everything that the establishment did, including fixing an election in 2020, they are now absolutely dismantling everything that President Trump did. We're going back to mediocrity. We're going back to the same old failed progressive policies that have been in place for the last 60 years and have failed the American people, including the lack of energy independence, the lack of energy independence. America was on the road to energy independence thanks to the vision and foresight of President Trump. And all bubbling Biden had to do was continue those policies so that America can realize the prosperity and Americans can get back to work. Americans, free enterprise, capitalism, okay, can thrive in America, a low tax system. But no, the progressives don't want that. They want you and me indentured to the federal government. When bumbling Biden and Obama left office in 2016, January 20, 2017, the people dependent upon food stamps was upwards to 50% of the American people. President Trump, during his term before the pandemic, it got down to 35%. It was dropping to 31%. Now bubbling Biden has got that back up again to 40 and 50%. And he's continued the SNAP program to 2023, funding it. So the anticipation of making Americans dependent upon the government is high. All because of the pollution of progressive politics, implementing the failed policies that have failed America for 50 plus years. Oh, wait a minute, 50 plus years? That's how long bumbling Biden has been in office. Yeah, America is back to mediocrity again. Make America mediocre again. That is the theme of this destructive regime that has been put in place by whomever in Washington, D.C. Because certainly this frail old fraud didn't get 81 million votes. And everything they're doing is to dismantle whatever President Trump put in place, no matter how good it is, how good it was, like the Abraham Accord. The Abraham Accord was brilliant. It was brilliant. And it made these terrorist nations, these terrorist territories, it made them quake in their boots because President Trump saw right through the facade of these dictatorships, of these cowardly terrorists. And now you've got a regime that is rewarding terror, buying 6 million barrels of oil from Iran. There's something absolutely seditious about that action by one of the guys whose name is on that Iran treaty. Iran deal. It's not a treaty because the United States Senate never voted on because it was so bad. It was so bad. And speaking of so bad, so is Biden. You know, Al, there was a story, speaking of so bad, that came out yesterday, and I don't know if you saw this, but Chris Wallace of Fox News tries to sandbag Representative Jim Banks. And because the new narrative that was sent down by the Democrat Communist Party for the weekend, the talking points was to blame the Republicans, okay, for defunding police because the Republicans didn't vote for the $1.9 trillion boondoggle bill, okay? And this is 2 minutes and 30 seconds, okay, of the interview with Chris Wallace and Jim Banks. And I have to bring this up because it goes to the same point about the propaganda, okay? The propaganda administration in defunding police is now being put and blamed on the Republican Party. This is how pathetic this administration is. But you know, they have willing accomplices. They found the chimpanzees in the media to opine this. It's 2 minutes and 30
the streets
seconds.
And now Joe Biden wants to take guns away from law-abiding gun owners who have guns to protect themselves. But But Ms. Congressman Banks, let me push back on that a little bit, because in the program that he announced this week, the president said that the central part of his anti-crime package is the $350 billion in the American Rescue Plan, the COVID relief plan that was passed. Take a look at what the president said.
It means more police officers, more nurses, more counselors, more social workers, more community violent interrupters to help resolve issues before they escalate into crimes.
Congressman Banks, you voted against that package, against that $350 billion, just like every other Republican in the House and Senate. So can't you make the argument that it's you and the Republicans who are defunding the police?
Not at all, Chris. I mean, let's go back again and look at the last year and the record of comments that Democrats have made from Rashida Tlaib, who said that policing is inherently
evil. Wait, sir, respectfully, I heard you make that point, but I'm asking you, there's $350 billion in this package the president says can be used for policing. And let me put up some of the specific
Chris,
the point that I'm making
is important.
Congressman Banks, let me finish, and then I promise I'll give you a chance to answer. The president is saying cities and states can use this money to hire more police officers, invest in new technologies, and develop summer job training and recreation programs for young people. Respectfully, I've heard your point about the last year, but you and every other Republican voted against this $350 billion.
When Representative Omar says that policing is rooted in evil and Nancy Pelosi compares police officers to Nazi stormtroopers, it makes it very difficult for police departments around the country to recruit people to become police officers. And that's the crisis that we find in police departments all over America. You can give them more funding, and that's good. But if they can't recruit people to become a police officer because we've stigmatized one of the most honorable professions in America, then we're at a dangerous point. And that is directly related to the rise in violent crime across America. If we turn a blind eye to law and order and a blind eye to riots that occurred in cities last summer, and we take police officers off the street, we're inevitably going to see crime rise.
So the package was $1.9 trillion. Roughly 20% of the bill was earmarked for what could be used for funding more police officers, community violence interrupters, okay? There's their politically correct multicultural soundbite, okay? And so pick and choose what parts of the bill you want to argue. $1.6 trillion of wasteful spending, but let's get the chimpanzees of the media to distract and talk about a small amount of the bill, okay? But let's not forget, it was Chris Wallace, the mouthpiece for the DNC, who wants to pick and choose. Okay, how about Minneapolis defunding police? How about Portland defunding police? How about New York City defunding police to the tune of $1 billion? Chicago defunding police? Los Angeles defunding police? What does that all mean? Well, guess what? In Portland, Oregon, who defunded police, homicides are up 800%. Minneapolis, the city council defunded police, homicides up 56%. Philadelphia, defunded police, homicides up 40%. Washington, D.C., defunded police, homicides up 35%. Los Angeles, homicides up 27%. 22% up in New York, 22% up in Chicago, despite Mayor Lightweight proclaiming that crime is actually down in Chicago. Remember, the words of bumbling Biden, you can use the money to hire police officers. Well, seven major cities would receive money who have already defunded police and to have policies in place to defund police, so that money would have not been used to fund police. So Chris Wallace got his DNC talking points over the weekend and tried to sandbag a Republican member of Congress in order now to blame Republicans for defunding police. But before interviewing Banks, Wallace talked about Cedric Richmond. He's a senior Biden advisor. And during that interview, Richmond directly accused under his propaganda of talking points, directly accused Republicans of defunding police. This is the pair of balls that the dishonest Biden administration has. This is the dishonest Democrat Party. This is the destructive Democrat Party. Cedric Richmond is a propagandist, is now the mouthpiece of deceit for the Farlow fraud administration. Blame Republicans. The propaganda ministers of the dictator Joe Biden regime. Let's put it to rest right now. Defunding police is and has been a Marxist anti-American policy being enforced by the destructive Democrat Communist Party. The Republican Party is not to blame for the defunding of police. Incestuous Ilhan Omar is to blame. Rashida Mother-Effer Tlaib is to blame. Alexandria Ocasio-Communist is to blame. The destructive Democrat Communist Party are the masters at turning the tables. The emergency relief package is not specifically earmarked to hire police, especially in those left-wing cities run by Marxists. And again, those left-wing cities such as Portland, Oregon, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, California, the Marxist mayor of New York City, Warren Wilhelm de Blasio, defunded police to the tune of $1 billion. A $1.9 trillion wasteful spending package with less than 20% of the bill earmarked to go to cities and states for police, fire, healthcare workers, and the DNC spin, the propaganda spin, is to blame the Republicans for defunding the police. What a masterful job. It's brilliant. What a brilliant campaign. They put their flunkies out there. They put the anti-American Democrats out there like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Mother-Effer Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Communist. They put them out there to defund police, to harass police, to berate police, and it's the Republicans' fault. Newsreader Chris Wallace talks about the $246 billion, doesn't talk about the $246 billion extension to unemployment. Small businesses in America are struggling for workers. Well, the communist U.S. government is incentivizing laziness. The American Rescue Plan extended the pandemic unemployment assistance benefits of $300 a week through September 6, 2021. And increases the total number of weeks available from 50 to 79 weeks. Free enterprise is hurting. Small business can't find workers. You can't even get a fucking pizza delivered on time anymore because there isn't anybody to work. Why? Because the federal government incentivized laziness. It's more profitable to stay at home and collect the $600 a week additional compensation, all because of a pandemic. And Chris Wallace now is opining the propaganda talking points of the Democrat Communist Party. It's the Republicans' fault for defunding police. What a pair of balls. Al, what a masterful campaign.
Well, they turned Chris Wallace. He is, used to be good, and now he's effectively now a shill for the Marxists. How sad. What a dick. This $1.9 trillion should be rejected just out of hand because, what is it, maybe 5 to 10% actually goes to roads, bridges, and infrastructure. The rest of it is just to pay off to states, cities, counties across the country.
Yeah. And so the DNC understands that they can't have this, the crux of this bill, to be known by the American people. So you send out the propaganda talking points, you find your chimpanzees in the media to make this a Sunday news story. You know, you go in, you call in Jim Banks, you call in some Republican representatives, and then you sandbag them. Oh, and you voted against this, so this is you've in effect defunded police. It's like, where in the hell did you get this from, Chris? I mean, are you serious? Are you freaking serious? Did you look at the other $1.6 trillion that's in that bill? $1.6 trillion. And besides that, the cities, there's what? There's 7 to 9 cities in America who have effectively defunded police. Do you really think that $350 billion, $500 million being earmarked to all these states, that they would, those cities that have already defunded police would use the money to buy police officers, to fund the additional police officers? Hell no. They've already defunded police. Well, they may go ahead and hire social workers, you know, or maybe they'll find a community violence interrupter. What the hell is that? A community violence? Doesn't that sound, you know what it sounds like, Al? It sounds like when you say that, you have to really play this music. Hire a community violence interrupter. Put in place a community violence interrupter and save your city. I mean, do you really think with Portland, Oregon, with Minneapolis, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Los Angeles, California, already defunding police, that the money they received from the federal government out of the $350 billion package, they're actually going to fund police officers? It is a bogus argument. And sadly, you know, I know that Representative Banks was sandbagged on this, but I would have told Chris Wallace that you got to be smoking something. You can't be that far in the bag for the Democrat Communist Party to be opining these talking points that are absolutely fictitious. It is absolutely a falsehood to discount the fact that incestuous Ilhan Omar and Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Communist have called for the defunding of police, okay, for civil unrest. They have absolutely been total anti-constitutionalists, anti-Americans, and you're blaming the Republican Party. Now, I know how weak the Republican Party is. I understand, you know, that Kevin McCarthy is not the sharpest tack in the bunch. But it has been the Democrat Party who has supported the violent arm of the Democrat Party, Antifa, BLM, and the lawfare part, which is the Muslim Brotherhood. And you're blaming the Republican Party. Chris Wallace used to have some sense of dignity, but he's absolutely fallen off the wagon. And it's really sad that he would espouse this type of propaganda that comes out of Washington, D.C. He would absolutely facilitate these lies about the Republicans to blame for defunding police. $1.6 trillion of wasteful spending, and Chris Wallace now is the propaganda king in facilitating a $350 billion ruse. I mean, it's unbelievable. Just because the Frail Old Fraud sends Cedric Richmond out to be the mouthpiece of the deceit for the Frail Old Fraud and push forth a phony narrative about blaming Republicans. I mean, if you think that the Democrat Party is ever going to admonish incestuous Ilhan Omar, you're grossly mistaken. She can make any type of remarks that she wants to, and she has. She's made anti-Semitic remarks, her and Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib. You got Rashida Tlaib calling the President of the United States a motherfucker. And there's nothing. There's nothing by Nancy Pelosi. There is nothing by the Democrat. If you think that Democrats are going to be held to any type of accountability, you are grossly mistaken under this government. My God, Independence Day weekend coming up. 233 years since our founding. And the very thing that James Madison penned in the Federalist Papers about dividing the Union and about dismantling the Republican form of government, we are watching right before our eyes. The attempt by this anti-constitutionalist government, the anti-constitutionalist Congress. I mean, how much more should we take from the Ilhan Omars making such incendiary remarks about our United States military? disparaging the Jews in America and in Israel. And not a peep from Nancy Pelosi. No accountability for the actions of our anti-American members of Congress. Eric Swalwell getting in bed with a Chinese spy, and there's no accountability for that. Well, he did it. He did tell us. But his whole political career was furthered by the Chinese. The Chinese financed his mayoral campaign. The Chinese financed his congressional campaign. Hell, Dianne Feinstein had a Chinese chauffeur for 20 years. He was a Chinese spy. And no consequences for that. You've got Joe Biden paying $25,000 for his son to bang a hooker in Los Angeles. And nothing. Can you, if that was Eric Trump or Donald Trump Jr., where pot paid $25,000 for a hooker, the fucking media would have went insane. But the Parmesan-snorting, coke-addicted piece of garbage, Hunter Biden, has his daddy pay for his hookers so he can get laid in Los Angeles, and it's absolute silence by the media. All the continued sanitizing of the frail old fraud, Joe Biden. This bumbling buffoon is getting away, and it's really, what's sad about it is we are approaching Independence Day 2021, and the more I read the Constitution, the more I read the Declaration of Independence, the more I read the Federalist Papers, our founders were so brilliant, they knew at some point in time man would screw up the form of government that they put forth. And it's all based on greed, Al. It's all based on power. This greed and power that emanates from Washington, D.C. We have a one-party system, and there's no accountability. You buy 6 million barrels of oil from Iran, no accountability. You buy 7 million barrels of oil from Russia, and no accountability, but yet you go ahead and you turn off the spigots in America, and Americans who earn less than $400,000 are paying through the nose right now. Open up your wallets, ladies and gentlemen, because more is going to come out of it because of this pollution of progressive politics. Already, you know, we were spoiled with airline-to-air tickets now. And they're skyrocketing. Why? Because the cost of fuel has skyrocketed. And guess who pays for it? Okay? Not the bankrupt airline industry. They pass it amongst the consumer. You know, it's a vicious cycle. And what we have is a destructive form of government right now. And it's to break the American people's backs, trample on the rights, trample on the Constitution, trample on the Bill of Rights. Exactly.
It's
three
time
times
for America to wake the hell up. The chicken has spoken.
That's right.
Well, don't forget, we've also got the Arizona election audits, and those are gaining steam here in America. People are getting very interested in the results because early results are showing that there is chicanery happening in Arizona, as well as possibly Georgia as well, and then other states. This is gaining steam. What's going to become of it? We don't know. Can the election be overturned? We don't know. I don't think so. But it will show fraud and abuse. So that's news that will be coming around the corner, which is good news.
Yeah, but you know it's good.
That's spoken.
Well, you know, and what's funny is that the New York Times and the Boston Globe are all making sure that they continue to print headlines that Trump making erroneous claims of voter fraud and these recounts. And it's funny. I subscribe to I get the Boston Globe to see what the headlines are on a daily basis. And sure enough, man, they sit there and they continue to disparage Trump. They continue to disparage the Trump on the election fraud and the so-called election fraud, the so-called fraud. The New York Times is in bed as well with the DNC. And it's just funny how all these rags have come out and they continue to condition the American people to think that there was no impropriety in the 2020 election. But then what? A Democrat, the election supervisor, I forgot who he is. He came out and said that there was some fraud already, and much to the chagrin of the leftists. And so now they're everybody's scrambling.
And Trump had a rally in Ohio. The turnout was huge.
So
tens
how many
of
people?
Thousands. I don't
really?
Know. I'm looking. I'm trying to get a number, but it's hard to get a real number. To me, it looks like it could be anywhere from 50 to 100,000 people.
Jeez.
What are you hearing?
I'm not hearing that many, but I was hearing like 25 to 30. But that, you know, again, that was not a verified number. There was a crap lot of people there.
Yeah, even 30,000 people to hear a politician who's no longer in office, phenomenal. President Biden couldn't even get 30,000 people to one of his when he was running for president.
He couldn't get 30 people. He had 25 individual circles. I'm sorry. He had 26 individual circles at one of his campaign stops, and there were two empty circles. So he had 24 people. He couldn't get 30 people at any of his events. And this guy supposedly got 81 million votes? There's no way. He's uninspiring. He's nothing but an old racist. I mean, there's a reason why he never was elected or never made it to the top of the ticket when he was in his prime. Because people saw through the facade. He's a phony. And we're watching the phony right before us. And what's really sad is the guy has issues with mental acuity. There's no doubt about it. And he's being shielded and he's being regimented. And what's really sad is, okay, what Trump was being accused of when they talked about transparency was absolute bull. The fact is that the current regime can't afford any transparency with Biden, because as soon as Biden goes off the teleprompter, they are sunk. This guy, he bumbles, he stumbles, and the sad part, it's not funny anymore. It's dangerous. And I believe it was Hank Jones that said, it isn't funny, it's dangerous. And he's absolutely right. Because when you think of it at those days, this guy is supposedly the leader of the free world. And the guy can't add two and two anymore. And it's dangerous. It may seem funny. He loses his train of thought. I mean, I know that Joshua on Wednesday has ADD and D, but Biden's far worse at times. And you know who's in the background all the time? Jill Biden. Jill is making sure that she can handle him. And everything is scripted. And that is dangerous. That is dangerous. There was a reason why they didn't put Biden and Putin in a joint press conference. There's a reason for that. The reason for that is that Biden wouldn't be able to hold water to Putin. He would have looked absolutely feeble. And it was bad enough that he screwed up his own press conference by himself, let alone having to do a joint press conference with Putin. Sorry about that, Billy. Please extend my apologies to Joshua. I didn't mean anything by it.
It was a profound embarrassment to the country when our leader refused to meet with Putin after he called Putin a killer. And he had to back away from that.
He's such a fraud. It really is. It's such a fraud. You know, one thing that's coming out, we can thank Representative Warren Davidson from Ohio. It seems like he is taking a page out of the governor of Florida's book. Where Representative Warren Davidson introduces a bill that would ban vaccine requirements. Did you see this story?
No, but I'm very interested.
Ohio Congressman wants to crack down on so-called vaccine passports that document whether someone has been inoculated against COVID-19 and other diseases. Republican Representative, U.S. Representative Warren Davidson of Troy introduced legislation Thursday that would bar federal agencies, state governments, and businesses from requiring proof of vaccination in exchange for services or employment. The concept has become the latest flashpoint in the debate between public health and individual liberties that define much of the pandemic. Now, what's really interesting about this is there is a Privacy Act, HIPAA. And if you read the HIPAA law, okay, there is a reason in 1998 it was passed, and that was to provide some sort of privacy for individuals concerning their health. And now we're going to toss away that entire Privacy Act. And what's worse is there were doctors, there were medical practitioners who were fined and penalized and written up as violators of HIPAA rules. And now that the entire HIPAA legislation is being pushed aside by the Marxists in Washington, D.C., who now have a fascination and a fixation on creating a vaccine passport. Did you get vaccinated? Where's your passport? Oh, you know, it's like my American Express card. Hold it up. Oh, I've got the vaccination American Express passport. Wrong. If you're not entitled to know what my medical history is prior to the pandemic, you're not entitled to know whether or not I got vaccinated or not. That is my right. That is my individual liberty. It's my body, right? I can't ask you if you got an abortion. Well, I'm not going to tell you if I got the vaccine. It's none of your fucking business. And my employment shouldn't be predicated on that, including was it Morgan Stanley? Just issued an edict that nobody is allowed who hasn't been vaccinated is allowed in their New York offices, and your employment's going to be contingent upon that? Excuse me, but that's discrimination. This is exactly what the powers to be want in order to dismember our constitutional republic. But Representative Warren Davidson, congratulations. New York, for example, created a mobile pass that businesses and event venues can scan to ensure that persons meet their safety requirements. But so-called vaccine passports have drawn rebukes from Republicans who contend they violate personal freedoms. Under the proposal, federal agencies wouldn't be allowed to issue vaccine passports, nor would state or local governments that receive federal coronavirus relief funds. Businesses could not require proof of vaccination as a condition for goods and services and would be denied federal grants and or contracts for 2 years if they violate the rule. The ban wouldn't apply to healthcare, schools, or U.S. Department of Defense, although schools would need to offer exemptions. So, you agree? I agree with it.
I agree. Have you had an abortion?
I can't tell you that. It's my body.
My body, my choice, my body, my choice,
my
leave me alone.
How do you identify today?
Plus, we're having all kinds of side effects from the vaccine popping up in the news all over the place.
Yeah.
Whether it be for older people with heart issues, blood clots, deaths to the tune of over 5,400. And that's starting to crack the mainstream news, so I suspect that it is a lot more happening than we're aware of.
Yeah, you know, the blood clots after getting the Chinese virus vaccine, that's an issue, especially for pilots, you know? I mean, here... If you have a pilot that's gotten the Chinese virus vaccine, if blood clots are an issue, especially with the Pfizer or the Moderna is causing it, I mean, are you going to feel safe going up in the skies with so far what? Several pilots now have contracted blood clots. One or two have died as a result of that. And now I read in the coronavirus monthly or weekly that the Pfizer vaccine has TD43, this particular component is linked to Alzheimer's, dementia, and something else. And I forget, so maybe I got it. No, the dementia. So there's a Belly put in there. British Airways had four pilots die after vaccine. you know, again, you're up there, the pressure, you know, of being up in a plane. That's the biggest thing. Don't fly with if you have issues with blood clots.
In circulation, I have an aunt who can't fly because of circulation issues. So, that's a serious complication. All for a right now, it's the COVID-19, you have a 99.8% survival rate.
So
why would I take a vaccine for something that have a 99.8% survival rate? I'll take my chances, thank you. And then even if I get the vaccine, I can still contract COVID-19. I can still get the virus. In fact, there's cases popping up of people that are fully vaccinated that are still getting the virus. But their comeback is, but if you get the vaccine, you're less likely to get the virus in the first place.
Yeah.
You'll be more immune to it, but you may still get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very rare. In the meantime, there's cases that are popping up like crazy of people, vaccinated people, contracting the Chinese virus once again. I mean, like crazy.
Yeah. And it's perfectly natural that a virus will mutate over the years. Why do you think people get flu shots every year? Because it's fun? No, because the influenza virus mutates from year to year. They're trying to get ahead of it. That's why I don't get a flu shot. Call me crazy.
No, you're not crazy. I don't do it either. I don't get a flu shot. First of all, the side effects from the flu shot are bad. And mm-hmm. I've had family members who have gotten the flu shot and have had terrible side effects up to it. Like you said, when the Chinese virus stats show that 98.3% of the people age 80 and above survive. When under 80 years old, that number increases to 99.3% survival rate after contracting the Chinese virus, why would I get a vaccine? 99.3% of the people under the age of 80 survive. And we're pushing and we shut down an entire economy and we're pushing this phony narrative by that we need to get a vaccine, and you got to show your vaccine passport.
Yeah. I use the John Rahm defense, the professional golfer. The John Rahm defense is this. While John Rahm had COVID, he shot 6 strokes better than the field up into the third day of the tournament and got booted. And then after he became negative for COVID, he went and won the U.S. Open. So I want COVID because it'll make me a much better golfer. People say I'm an idiot for saying that, but I say no. I disagree. I think it's the greatest defense ever on mankind. And everybody should get the shingles shot if you haven't gotten it yet, because I got the shingles shot, the shingles vaccine.
Oh,
that shot's been thoroughly tested, and you get the vaccine. It's a 2-shot program, and then you don't have to worry about shingles.
I got shingles. I got the shingles. I didn't just get the shot, but I got the shingles, and I would, you know, if that's been.
It's a nasty one.
It is. It absolutely is. It's terrible.
Yep.
If you get an opportunity to get the shingles shot. I mean, but again, how many people get shingles? Was it 1 in 30,000? 1 in, you know, 50,000? 1 in 100,000?
I don't know. I know a few people that have gotten it. But anyway, the point is that I'm not anti-vaccine. It's just that I look at the COVID way, the pros and cons of it. And it's not worth getting the vaccine, especially if I do get sick from it, which is possible. All vaccines, people have bad reactions. Not everybody's the same. Who can I sue? Nobody. Because it's an experimental drug. The FCC hasn't approved it. And what am I going to do? Sue Uncle Sam for the vaccine? Stand in line. I'm not going to get anywhere with that because you can't sue the government. So put that in your hookah and smoke it.
Oh, God, it's just, it's incredible what we're seeing today. Honest to God, all in the name of a pandemic. Oh, man.
Well, I read an article that the next thing coming down the pike is that they're going to do climate change lockdowns, maybe in our future.
Oh.
And I hope they try it because I think that'll be the tipping point where people will just say, no more.
Yeah, there's this thing called the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment. Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances 233 years ago. Our founders put forth great document.
Right, and a beautiful one at that. But the loophole is that if there is a national emergency, habeas corpus goes out the window. So declare a national emergency, and then anything goes. And we saw how that went when we had mayors and governors having power trips because of getting all these powers over people that they never had before. Gavin Newsom is a great example of that.
You know what? There's nowhere in the United States Constitution that has a subsection for that. There's nowhere.
No.
Yeah. There's nowhere.
Nowhere? Okay.
Nowhere. Nowhere. There's no subsection of the First Amendment. There's no subsection of the Second Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Ladies and gentlemen,
amen. And screw the hammer-throwing bitch.
Hey, tomorrow night, I think Eric may have a show tomorrow. It might be his last one, but Eric from Capiros may be back tomorrow. Wednesday, Hank Jones with Poly Sports. He's got some sports to talk about, I am sure. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffery Report. He's got a new book out. Check out his new book, The Cancer of Jihad, or Cancer of Islam. Friday's show is Andrew Harrod and a conservative... what does he call it? Conservative Friday? And Saturday, the Minister of Samadaktak, the beautiful Christy, revealing the truth about Islam. Sunday, Interfaith Dialogue. Could be simulcast. We may have a replacement for Sunday. But check out, there will be a show on Sunday of some sort. Monday, Alan, be back with Mama Mia Knows Sharia. Hey, check out G-Ski and Dave Friday nights on Blog Talk Radio, Airwaves America. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. She was in the house. Oh, she is in the house still. Her and Curtis, great show. Southern Sense Talk Radio, Friday, 1 p.m. Cheap, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And if you want a break from politics, check out Simone Nicole Show Wednesdays at evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. So you listen to Hank Jones at Poly Sports from 5:30 to 7. Break for something to eat. Go exercise. Did you exercise today? And then check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. Alan and I will be back next Monday evening. And enjoy your Independence Day weekend, Independence Day Sunday, July 4th. You know, be thankful for America. Our founders were brilliant. Pick up the Constitution. Read the Bill of Rights this weekend. Read a Federalist paper, Federalist number 10 or Federalist number 51. Has to do with free speech. Our founders were brilliant. And what we are seeing today, what we are witnessing today, one, in the name of a pandemic, and two, in the name of the pollution of progressive politics, is not what our founders wanted for America. But Americans are becoming more coy and educated, and they understand how oppressive this government has become. Time to fight back. It's time to take back this country and our constitutional republic. And let's not be afraid to call it a republic, because that's what this country was founded upon, a republic. Read Read the Federalist Papers number 10, and James Madison makes it quite clear what this country was founded upon. So God bless you guys. You guys be safe out there. Enjoy your weekend. Be aware of your surroundings. Support your local law enforcement. God bless our troops, and God bless America. Good night, folks.
Adios, amigos.
Yes, it was my way.
That's all, folks.
Well done.
Hey.
As usual. Outstanding.
It's that little voice in our head.
God, things just get weirder and weirder from week to week. It's bizarro land out there.
You know, it is. And, you know, it's like it's all by design. It's like create chaos, create mayhem, overwhelm the system to the point where things have become chaotic, whether it's the border, whether it's foreign policy, domestic policy. I mean, it's just, it's bizarre. And everything that Trump did is being disassembled. And it's so that it's almost like this, like his presidency never took place, that the powers to be in D.C. want to make sure that this guy's presidency never took place. And it's like, well, he was only guilty of loving America, being a champion for America.
Mm-hmm. And they're still going after him. In fact, they're going after him for, I don't know, some minor accounting issues for one of his companies. And meanwhile, you've got Hunter Biden selling his rehab art for exorbitant prices.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the guy admits to snorting Parmesan cheese off of a rug. That's how demented this guy is. And there's a laptop with possible child porn with evidence on it that shows that the Biden crime family is corrupt as hell. And we're worried about Trump possible irregularities in accounting, which, you know, there's been nothing ever. Matter of fact, I think, did I hear today that Cyrus Vance Jr. is dropping charges against Trump in New York? Did that make
really?
The media? Yes. I just heard that today.
I didn't hear that. I didn't get that memo.
Yeah, Cyrus Vance Jr. is dropping charges against Trump. And again, here we go. It will not make the news. And anything pro-Trump, you can't put out there. Because Donald Trump is, you know, we can't talk about the fact that he brought the Abraham Accord, you know, and try to build a bridge of peace between the Islamic world and Israel, something contrary to what the word of Allah calls for, and the mission of Muhammad to create mayhem and disaster and death, and he's not even a Nobel for that. And yet Jerry Nadler writes a manifesto, a six-page manifesto, that calls for the disruption of Trump, never to what was the word he used? I can't think of the name, what it was that he said. But and it's like, wait a minute here. Hold on. You've got a sitting member of Congress who has written a six-page manifesto on how to upend the Trump presidency and Trump. And there's no pushback to this. The agenda is to be disruptive from the word go, to create mayhem, to create disunity. And don't legitimize Trump. And, you know, try to depress his public support. And when that didn't work for 4 years, then the answer was to cheat. and they lied and they cheat. Oh, the first order of business must be to refuse to allow the normalization of Trump. That is the mission of the nasty Pelosi and the Democrat Party. That's what they put in writing. And yet there's no pushback for this type of sedition, for this treasonous act against the President of the United States. You're not working for we the people. You're working for you, the self-interest. So everything the guy's done is now, you know, put to the back burner. All the positive that he's done, that's the other part of it. Forget about, you know, all these left-wing, they all were okay with cursing Trump out, and they were all okay with demonizing him, creating false stories. And as soon as Trump said something, they were offended. What a bunch of horse shit that is. But they were offended because of the way Trump talked. In the meantime, it was okay to hold up a severed head of him or hang him in effigy. You know, and it just didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. I mean, the Mueller report didn't get him. I mean, that was the first sign that they were that the left wing was going down the wrong road, and yet it's okay. It's okay.
Hey, the charge is all that matters. And that's what our Republican friends don't understand. File the charges. If it happens, it happens. Nobody can, but I guess with the Republicans, it won't work for us because we don't have the media making it real. No matter what we do, we just can't get the – we've had politicians tell us that in the past. A decade ago, they'd say, hey, I try to tell people, but the media won't print anything.
Yeah. Yep.
Not that that's an excuse. They were probably, in hindsight, they were probably establishment Republicans who like things just the way they are, just like the Republican assholes who were on board with this, what was a $2.6 trillion deal. Now they negotiated down to $1.9 or something. Trillion?
Yes.
Where only a small percentage of it is even going to the infrastructure. Everything, it's to everything else on top of all the other money giveaways for this last year. And you wonder why lumber is now, prices are so high that it's seriously impacting the cost of new home sales. Or cost of homes are going way up because the lumber's so damn expensive.
Yeah.
Inflation creep. Yeah, right before our eyes. It's like my handicap just keeps going up and up and up and up.
What is it, up to a 12 now?
Was down to a 12. Now it's up to a 13.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, so you had a bad week.
They happen. Thought I had it figured out. I just can't keep the swing under control. Like that fella, you know, like the guy who won the Travelers. What a, like you said, what a swing. That is so smooth.
Oh, Harris English? Oh, God. That swing is beautiful. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Like Ernie Els, almost.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe even a little smoother. And he still drives a ball 300-plus yards.
Yes, he had a couple. He had one, was it 340 yesterday, 350?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, holy crap. He knocked the snot out of a couple of them. I mean, yeah, he outdrove the Hickok by 30, 40 yards. I think one of my counts was 50 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was easily half a Walmart behind every hole.
Oh, incredible. Incredible. Oh, agreed, man.
But then again, would you rather hit in at 120 or 130 yards or at 80?
Well, I'd rather hit an 80.
Would you?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, without a doubt. Shit, I'd rather go in with my 60-degree wedge. For one, I could hit it higher. That would be definitely 80 versus 120.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, you don't have to worry about it. The only thing you have to guard against is spin. with a 60-degree wedge, especially with those greens and those wedges, because their wedges are, I mean, those grooves are, like, perfect. You know, they're playing with new wedges. And, yeah, the only thing I'd have to worry about with a 60-degree wedge from that would be spinning the ball.
Yeah, some of those greens are brutal. It was like a teacup.
Oh. Incredible. Incredible. It's fun to watch. It really is.
Mm-hmm. So did you break 70 this week?
I did. I shot...
Excellent.
I shot 66 on Wednesday.
Awesome. Congratulations again. Thanks. It's going to be the norm.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Yesterday I didn't shoot too well. Friday I shot 68. Yesterday I did not. I was just, but I think I hurt my back. That's the only thing. My back
really?
Is. I took today off because my lower back was bothering me, and I think that was part of the reason why I couldn't make a turn yesterday, and so I ended up being on the floor most of yesterday afternoon and part of this morning. So,
did you hear a pop or anything?
No, I did not. That was the thing. But the weird part was I bent down to tie my shoe when it came undone, and right around, I don't know, was it 7th or 8th hole, and I felt my back starting to spasm, and I haven't been able to get rid of that feeling. So I just got to get on. I think I have to get on the inversion table tonight and just try to pull it out a little bit. But I've been stretching and. I felt a little better today. I could sit down better, so I just didn't want to push it today. So
the leaves and heat keep the heat on it. My
keep
recommendation.
The heat? Okay.
Keep the
All right.
heat.
Keep the heat.
Keep the heat. Keep the heat.
Keep the heat. All right. I will take that. I thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Dr. Bombay recommends. Dr. Bombay.
Dr. Bombay, come right away. That's a little reference to Bewitched for you out there, who you old people out there who may not remember that show, Bewitched. Dr. Bombay, come right away. Dr. Al,
Aleve,
Big Al.
Heat. Yep, Aleve, Heat, and Jack Daniels.
Ooh, I got some of that. All right, I'll try that. Yeah. Ooh. All right.
So. Well, good luck. Good luck
thanks.
Managing that. So.
No, thanks for that tip. I will take that to heart, and I'm going to try it tomorrow. I'm going to go out, just walk 9 holes, and see how I feel. And if I don't feel very well, I'll just walk off and come home. I just won't even bother. But I feel pretty good. Anyway, so yeah, I'm playing pretty good. My putting has been up and down. That's the only thing I got to work on a little bit more. I may have to change putters. I don't know. And going to change some wedges out and just kind of fine-tuning my equipment. So
excellent. Well, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And great show as always.
All righty. We will have we'll be back next Monday. Sue. Nice to see you, and you have a nice evening, and I hope you're feeling well, and happy Independence Day, and we'll see you guys next week. Ciao.
Adios.
That's all, folks. Thank you for using Block Talk Radio. Goodbye.